How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I am your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we're going to talk about the, some football stories. Sharon Moore, I don't know if I'm pronouncing the name right, I'll be 100% honest, but, Coach Moore, from Michigan was fired, suspended, I guess is the term they use. So after that, it happened for an inappropriate relationship with a staff member, and then after that he was also arrested for assault. Home invasion, stalking, breaking and entering. He also was charged with assault before that, and then he would, fired for the thing with the inappropriate relationship with a staff member. Apparently, the woman who pressed the charges on him said that he entered the home and grabbed butter knives and scissors from a kitchen drawer and threatened to harm himself. I don't think what he did was right, but I think that he was probably having some kind of mental spiral. I mean, he was, on top of the world. He was I don't know about on top of the world, but he improved his record from last year. His coaching record was 18-8. That's a good record for a 2-year coach. He was considered a rising star in college football. He started as an assistant coach under Jim Harbaugh and worked all the way up to head coach in the time that Jim Harbaugh was there and then, left. Also, he was there during the whole sign-stealing thing, and he was also... he was the one who was appointed as interim head coach during the time in which Jim Harbaugh was suspended for... the sign-stealing thing. So, I think he probably had some kind of, mental break kind of thing. That's rough, I suppose. Not good for him. I certainly don't think he's going to get another coaching job anytime soon. Probably ever. And, depending on how this goes, he could very well be, locked up for a decently long time. The coach that was appointed to the interim coach for the Michigan one second. I should have wrote this down. I went home and fell asleep because it was I had to be in very early this morning at 3 to do some work for, my job. It was a long day. And the coach who was appointed as the interim coach for Michigan, man, this is a long article. Also, the university did say that there's absolutely no tolerance for the conduct of the university, and they wanted anybody who had any, instances with Coach Moore to come forward with their stories. Also, he was bailed out on a $25,000 bond, so, there's that. I think that it's probably not going to go well for him. I don't know any of the things in the court case, but just reading the articles I've they're all roughly the same, but it's not looking great. And also, the reason I can't think of the interim coach for Michigan is because he's got a different kind of a name. Biff Poggy. B-I-F-F-P-O-G-G-I, Biff Poggi. He was appointed after the firing of Sharon Moore. Also, Sharon Moore might lose out on $17 million that he had as a contract stipulation, basically, for early release. And I think that, that's valid. I don't know that I would pay him out. Michigan is probably going to have to fight it, though, but I don't see anybody arguing that Michigan should have to pay him. I mean, he's certainly done some things that would, I'm sure, violate his contract. So, I think that would, do them in as for, you know, like a serviceable reason as to why he was fired. By the way, Biff Poggi also served, coached with Jim Harbaugh. So, I think that he should be fine. I mean, Jim Harbaugh is a good coach. I think if you coached with Jim Harbaugh, I'm sure that, it's good. Also, I was trying to think of the team name, the Tar Heels, North Carolina. So, I don't think Bill Belichick is going to head to the NFL. There were rumors that Bill Belichick was going to be the head coach of the Giants because the Giants had fired Brian Daboll. But Bill Belichick has fired their offensive coordinator at the Tar Heels, which, by the way, was Freddie Kitchens. And Freddie Kitchens was a terrible coach. Now, I mean, I don't know what he was like before the Browns, I'll be honest. But he was a bad head coach with the Browns. I mean, his record... I guess he had one record. It says he only played one season. I've got to be thinking of somebody else. But yeah, 6 wins, 10 losses. Not a great year. But he's never... He's been an offensive assistant and interim offensive coordinator. And he's been, I don't know. He's had jobs. I mean, he still has a job he was interim head coach at North Carolina. I did not know that. But yeah, so the Bill Belichick offense or the Bill Belichick coaching staff was built up of a lot of former NFL coaches. I did not realize. But so Freddie Kitchens was fired as the offensive coordinator of the Tar Heels, and he also fired the special teams coordinator, who I have never heard of, but I don't know a lot of most coach names. I don't really know, besides head coaches, I guess. But long day, like I said, the Tar Heels are probably going to keep Bill Belichick. I don't see Bill Belichick getting fired or Bill Belichick leaving, because I think if Bill Belichick was going to get fired or leave, he wouldn't have fired Freddie Kitchens and the special teams coordinator. By the way, he wouldn't fire the defensive coordinator because the defensive coordinator is his son. So, there's that. But he's going to get a new coaching staff. And you don't get a new coaching staff if you're not planning on staying at the team. I think he's gearing up for year two, probably. I don't see why he would, not stay after getting a new coaching staff. Also, the Tar Heels, they kind of picked it up in the second half of the season, and it's not like, NFL, or it's not like, the big name coaches haven't kind of stumbled before. I mean, Barry Sanders, he's the coach at the Colorado University now. In Colorado, I think they won 3 games last year or something of that sort. And so, they have done significantly better. I guess, as of, well, not even as of late. They've still not done great. They did better than the year prior, but, so, you know, it takes time to build a team. So if Bill Belichick wanted out and he wanted to go to the NFL, I'm sure he could, but it would be very unlikely, in my opinion, that he got fired. I mean, you know, like I said, Coach Sanders, he went, I think, 3-9, or I don't know how many games are in a college football season. But I think he went 3-9 his first year as a head coach. But, I mean, he's moving right along. So I think that Bill Belichick, given time, will turn the Tar Heels around. Same thing like Jim Harbaugh. You know, Jim Harbaugh gave him some time. Michigan gave him some time, and he turned Michigan into a national champion. So, you'll have that. I mean, it just takes time. You got to get recruits in and all that good stuff. Also, speaking of Kevin Stefanski, the Browns head coach, he's on a bit of a hot seat now. I don't think they'll fire him personally. I would like to see the Browns get a new front office. I don't think the head coach is the problem. I mean, they've had good head coaches over the years. I mean, they had Bill Belichick at one point in time before he went to the Patriots. I just think that I just don't know. I mean, the Browns have the youngest GM in the NFL. I do believe 32 years old, and that's, I mean, that, I don't know, that's rough. And so I don't think, and Kevin Stefanski had good seasons as a coach at the Vikings. I think 11 win seasons. So, I mean, he's had winning seasons before. I think the Browns just have a rough-looking front office. I think you get a new front office, I think that it might be okay. But I don't think that the coaching staff is the problem. I mean, the Browns have had good teams over the years and have still been bad. So I don't know really what you do about that. So I don't know. It's, I guess, an interesting kind of I don't know. The Browns are an interesting kind of thing. By the way, I was looking into expansion drafts. So, it's not like I thought. I thought expansion teams were started off just absolutely terrible because I thought they were just free agents. But no, I mean, you get to take some, the teams get a lock, like 12 players, and anybody who has, anybody who has, man, I keep getting messages, sorry, I'm trying to, it keeps interrupting me, but the Browns are kind of interesting. Anybody who has, you know, been head coach there has been fired pretty quickly, in my opinion. I mean, Freddie Kitchens had 1 year, and, you know, 6-10, you know, I mean, it's not a winning season by any means, but 6-10 is not a bad season. I mean, considering the Browns have in previous years had like 1-0. I mean, they've had seasons with no wins, so it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But I think that if the Browns had a wide receiver room, they would probably do so much better. I don't have a whole lot of faith in Jerry Jeudy. I do like Isaiah Bond, but he's still young, got a lot of work to go. But besides that, I don't really think they have anybody to throw the ball to. I mean, they have Harold Fannin. I like Harold. I think he's good. But David Njoku, he's kind of, you know, not playing up to his full, you know, what he was capable of at one point in time. And, you know, Shedeur Sanders is a young quarterback. Dylan Gabriel, rookie quarterback as well. I mean, Quinshon and Dylan Sampson are good, but they're also rookies. It's not a good spot to be in for the Browns. Your defense is Super Bowl ready. Your offense is nowhere near Super Bowl ready. So, I mean, if you have no offense, I mean, I know the saying is defense, good defense wins games, but if you can't score, it doesn't matter how many times your defense gets a stop. You always end up, losing the game. Also, Phillip Rivers, this is another thing, a little bit off topic as far as bouncing around here, but Phillip Rivers has come back to the NFL. I don't know what that's going to look like. But Phillip Rivers joined the Colts practice squad, and so Daniel Jones got injured, which is unfortunate for Daniel Jones. He was playing, he was in the MVP race. I don't think he would have won it, but he was in the MVP race, so it's always good to be in the MVP race. But he got hurt, and he wears number 17, which is Phillip Rivers' old numbers, and Phillip Rivers went to the Colts and signed to the practice squad, and they let him wear number 17 because Daniel Jones is hurt. Also, I do believe the offensive coordinator used to be at the Chargers, so Phillip Rivers has some familiarity there. Phillip Rivers hasn't played in, I think, 4 or 5 years, something of that sort. I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, he's 44, 45, something like that at this point. I mean, he's had a couple years off, and he looks to be still in football shape. But, 5 years. He's been away for 5 years. But I don't know. I don't know how he's going to hold up. We're going to see. So, I'm interested to see what Phillip Rivers does as he returns to the NFL. Also, the Chiefs are still not out of the playoffs, but they very well could be put out of the playoffs. I'm hoping for that. Hope that we see a playoffs without the Chiefs. It'd be a miracle. There are football games on Christmas this year. I don't know how often the NFL does games on Christmas. But, I know the Thanksgiving has always been big for the NFL, so they started doing games on Christmas, I don't know, at some point. And the NBA has done games on Christmas for a while, so there was a bit of competition there. But, apparently, the NFL and some NBA players, I think it was last year, basically said that, Christmas belongs to the NBA. But the NFL actually won the numbers, I guess, in viewership. Which I think gave the NFL a lot of hope because they weren't wrong. I mean, traditionally, I guess the NBA has had Christmas games for a long time, to which the NFL, to my understanding, did not. So there's that. But the NFL realized that they had more viewership than the NBA. And there are games that are in contention, like I don't know exactly what time the NBA starts. But, I know there's a game at 1 o'clock. So there's a game at 1 o'clock, 4:30, and 8:15 for the NFL. I'm pretty sure that the NBA has a game at noon. The game at 8:15, I think the NBA has a game that starts at 8. So, I don't know for certain, but there's a lot of overlap there, like I said. I think they have a game that starts at 4 too, and there's a game that starts at 4:30 for the NFL. So, there's a lot of, competition there as far as viewership goes. There's not obviously all overlap. I don't watch basketball, really. I used to keep up with it, but I could never get behind watching it. So I think the NFL is just not, it was emboldened to continue expanding the holiday games, which is unfortunate. I wonder if they get paid bonuses for playing the holiday games. I know Thanksgiving Day game, I don't know what happens to the losers, but I know the winners get the whole, like, turkey legs and then that kind of thing. I don't know what they do for Thanksgiving, but for Christmas, I mean. But I think that's interesting, I suppose. I think that the NFL is going to be in good shape come Christmas. By the way, the Chiefs do play on Christmas, so it'll be a Christmas miracle if they lose to the Broncos, which I do believe would put them out of the playoffs. Christmas miracle. I'm rooting for the Broncos. Let's go Broncos. Bo Nix needs to do great. RJ Harvey needs to pop off, and I have faith in Marvin Mims. So, we're hoping for that. I hope the, well, it's Lions versus the Vikings, so I hope the Vikings take the win there because the Lions are, like, on the tail of the Packers. Packers, by the way, on top of the NFC now. They beat the Bears. So, let's go Packers. Packers back on top of the NFC. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think that the NFL, like I said, is going to do just fine. Also, it'll be interesting to see what Philip Rivers can do. By the way, if you have anything you wanted to add to this conversation, feel free. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Another coach who could get fired, possibly. I think that, I had to think of his name. Sorry, I could picture his face. Mike McDaniels is probably on the hot seat. The Jets coach is probably on the hot seat. Dable, like I said, already fired, which I think is good for the Giants. I'm not a big fan of Dable. I don't know. I've spoken on that before, I suppose. And Aaron Rodgers is going to retire next year. So I think that Will Howard will probably end up winning that starting job. So I think it'll be good. And like I said, I think should the Browns get a receiving room, I think that would be pretty good. Also, speaking of the Peace Prize, the reason I brought up making a fruitcake Peace Prize was because the FIFA had made a Peace Prize. So, and the president gave it FIFA gave it to Donald Trump. And Donald Trump and him are good pals. Apparently he's visited the White House, the FIFA president has visited the White House more than any foreign leader, in Trump's second term, so they're good friends. Also apparently senior people, within FIFA didn't know that the Peace Prize was going to be a thing, and there wasn't really a selection process. I want to say it was the Human Rights Watch organization. Yeah, there's been little transparency around the prize. Human Rights Watch says it has written to FIFA to request a list of the nominees, the judges, the criteria, and the selection process, and has received no response. And yeah, Infantino is the FIFA president. Infantino has visited the White House more than any world leader since Trump's return to office in January. And he's attended three ceremonies for Trump-brokered peace deals in recent months. So, you know, like I said, big friends with Donald Trump, gave Donald Trump the FIFA Peace Prize. So, yeah. And, like I was talking about last week, which I think I didn't get to talk about entirely, forgot his name. George Pickens got a bit of a heat coming towards him after the loss to the, I don't remember who they were playing. They lost the game, anyways. And you know, Richard Sherman tore into him, and then everybody else kind of tore into him, and he tore into Richard Sherman. So that's interesting. Also, Trump said that, the NFL should change its name because soccer is football. And by the way, I looked into it as to why soccer is called football, and turns out I was kind of right. So I don't know if you guys recall, but I was talking about, you know, how originally passing the ball wasn't even allowed, so we were playing some kind of weird rugby-like game. And, yeah, that's pretty much what it was. I mean, a whole bunch of people over here made some kind of, basically, variation of rugby. And apparently, you know, football, I guess, is just any game in which you get around on your... Because it was the time period in which a lot of games were played on the horseback. So any game that was played on your foot with a ball was considered football, and we played... It was like, again, rugby, more like rugby at least, like more like an English variation of rugby. And then at some point we changed it up and added the passing game and, you know, all that kinds of stuff. So... That's why it's called football. But Trump said that, here's the quote, when you look at what has happened to football, and again, it's soccer in the U.S., we seem to never call it that because we have another conflict. We have another conflict with the thing called football. Yeah, that's how it reads. Another conflict with the thing called football. But when you think about it, this is football. There's no question. We have to come up with another name for the other one. It really doesn't make sense. When you think about it. Also, FIFA president Infantino gave Donald Trump the Peace Prize. So yeah, I mean, I think that the whole thing there is just kind of interesting with the Peace Prize. But as far as the quote goes, I mean, we have a valid reason to call it football. I just gave it to you. So yeah, I think we should stick to football. Also, talked about it a bit last week, but I wanted to bring it back up. The NFL has entered into a partnership with the Big 12 to, I guess, improve coaching. Which I think shows that the NFL is not fond of how the coaching has gone in the NFL. You know, I mean, I think that like I said, Roger Goodell has said that the refereeing has never been the refereeing has never been better, I guess, is how he put it. I don't remember the exact wording. But yeah, he basically said the refereeing in the NFL has never been better, to which most people called him dumb, and, you know, that's kind of how it works. Anytime Roger Goodell says anything, the whole community kind of dislikes him. I think I said coaching, by the way. The NFL entered into a partnership with the Big 12 to work on refereeing. So I think if the refereeing had been never better in the NFL, why are you working to better refereeing? I mean, I guess, you know, better's, you know, you should always work to get better, I suppose. But it seems to me that they wanted to expand it to do it on the Big 12 dollar. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, the Big 12 gets access to all this, all the, like, NFL coaching, or NFL clinics and the weekly teaching tapes and you know, things like that. But, I don't know. People complain that the refereeing gets worse every year, and I tend to agree. I don't think that the refereeing is great. I mean, in the Packers-Bears game, there were two challenges, and both challenges were won. So that's two missed calls right there. I mean, you know, and there are some questionable calls in some other games. So it's things are rough. With the refereeing, and also with sports betting coming out, I think sports betting, even if the refereeing isn't actually influenced by sports betting, which I don't know that it is, I won't say that I think it is, I don't necessarily do, but I just think the fact that people have money riding on the game, there's more impact in the referee's call. So if a referee made a bad call prior, nobody really won or lost anything except games. Now you have people who have, you know, a combined total of millions of dollars probably bet on a game, and one bad call can lose, you know, can lose all of those people that money. So there's just a lot more, I guess, pressure put on refs based on the betting field, because there's more impact on the you know, the general public based on bad calls. Which could be the reason why NFL, I guess, has expanded its coaching of referees. So, yeah. The fruitcake toss, by the way, went well. Now that I'm thinking about it, I forgot to talk about the fruitcake toss. The fruitcake toss went well. We had the Salvation Army there. We had the bell ringer and the mobile canteen. I think the majority of people who were nominated showed up to throw. So that's always good. You know, the auditor was there. I shouldn't have started listing off people. I know I'm going to forget somebody. The auditor was there. The deputy auditor was there. Aaron Rollins was there with his significant other. Jason Schauber was there. Tara Dyer was there. Brian Murphy obviously won. Sheriff Matt Bales was there. Kevin Davidson, I believe, was there. Yep, I shouldn't have started naming people. But plenty of people. It was a big thing. I don't know exactly the top, like, five or anything. But I do believe the top three was Brian Murphy, obviously. He threw 78 foot. That's, you know, a new record for the fruitcake toss. Previously, it was, previously it was 72, so he broke it by 6. Didn't hit the tree though, so that's good. We had the tree out there propped up. And then I do believe second place was Sheriff Bales at 70. And last year we didn't have anybody throw 70, so you know, I think that It was interesting that we had you know, a broken record this year, because Brian Murphy was the winner last year, and he didn't even throw 70 last year. So, like I said, I just thought that was interesting. And then I do believe third place was Ed Pickett at 68. So, pretty good. I do believe I threw 55. I do believe is what we read earlier. I don't know where the book is, else I'd look, I guess. I think my brother threw 61. I don't remember the top three kids, but I remember the top kid is 30, the second was 25. So, I mean, we had quite a few throwers. I mean, Jack Kellogg threw. He was there, by the way. Yeah. Larry Barnett was there. He threw, well, he kind of just threw the fruitcake down and then said that, you know, when he was an umpire, he didn't like to get the ball, and he always made the catcher do it. So, that was funny. Also, when we sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game, because, you know, Larry Barnett was there, that was good. I'm getting a phone call. Man. Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, the fruitcake toss went well, like I said. Larry Barnett just kind of dropped the fruitcake down, but overall it went well. I mean, I don't think there were any complaints or anything like that. We had the Buckeye Donuts; they were there, given to I guess Buckeye Donuts were donated by Buckeye Donuts down in Columbus. They're open 24 hours, I do believe. And then we also thank the Industrial Channel. The Industrial Channel. Was there, I guess they recorded it and brought some, they were the ones that went and picked up the donuts and whatnot. We're getting a phone call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Matt, you was talking about the referees. I think officiating is better nowadays than what it used to be. Because used to be there was no challenges. And, you know, if you didn't make the, you know, get the ball over the end zone or something like that. Nowadays they can go back and review things, but, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, they weren't going back and reviewing nothing.
Yeah, I mean, challenges have certainly been helpful. I mean, even in baseball, I mean, there are challenges in baseball now, but those have been helpful, which, by the way, the umpire wins the challenges 90-something percent of the time, so that's good looks on baseball. You know, the umpires are doing a great job over there. But I don't know what the percentages are in the NFL. But, yeah, I mean, they've also expanded it. I mean, you know, years prior, you weren't allowed to challenge pass interference calls, but then I do believe it was the the Rams had a pass interference or a missed pass interference call against the Saints that should have put Drew Brees and the Saints in the Super Bowl, but it ended up putting the Rams in the Super Bowl because you can't challenge pass interference.
Yeah, that was pretty well talked about and stuff.
Yeah, people were very. It's understandable. It was upsetting. I thought that Drew Brees, because that was Drew Brees' last season. I wanted Drew Brees to win a Super Bowl.
But he has won a Super Bowl.
But I wanted him to get another one and then call it quits.
Yeah. They've expanded it to where you can review more. When they first came out, there was limited on, what you could review. But I think they've working it in better now.
Yeah. Also, the XFL, or I think it's called the UFL now. The UFL, they have a partnership with the NFL, and they are essentially like they do trial for new technology and things like that for the NFL. And the UFL, as of currently, has like you can challenge anything. So like you can go to the ref and say there was like number 62 of the left guard had holding against the number whatever, and the ref can go back and look at the play and be like, yes, there was holding, or no, there wasn't holding. So you can challenge anything. And I think that that's worked out pretty well for the UFL. So I think that at some point the NFL might work to implement that, where you can just challenge anything. You see a holding call that the refs didn't call, challenge it. You can get the holding call.
Yeah, I can see that. But if they are getting by with holding, if it's both teams that they're not, calling it close, fine. But when it comes to one team, they get called for penalties, and the other team, when they do it, they don't get called. Well, that can be frustrating.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of complaints because the Chiefs offense, the NFL doesn't keep track of missed penalties, but there was a lot of fans who took, like, who did their own math and said something like, I don't know, it was an absurd percentage of plays in which Kansas City's offensive line wasn't called for holding, which, by the way, it was kind of strange. The year that this whole thing happened, the Kansas City Chiefs had the most holding calls in the league in the regular season, and then the playoffs, I think they had something like two or three, I don't remember. So like they had like one of the lowest. So it was interesting, and there were all kinds of like clips and things of like holding on Joey Bosa that wasn't called and things like that. So it was interesting. And in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, even, A.J. Brown had a perfectly legal catch all the way down the sideline, basically mossed a guy, and the refs called it back for offensive pass interference, and everybody disagreed with that except the refs, obviously, and then A.J. Brown just did it again. And then they threw a flag again, but then they picked it back up and said that there was no flag on the play, and everybody was about to be livid on that.
Yeah. I think the replays is done well. And it don't look like the Kansas City is going to get into the playoffs this year.
If they lose on Christmas, I'm telling you, it'll be a Christmas miracle.
Yeah, and don't they have to have somebody else lose, too, to help them get in?
Well, it would help if... I don't know the specifics on all of that, but... I assume it would make it significantly easier if the Kansas City Chiefs won out. I do believe they'd get in it. But if they lost tomorrow, but like everybody in their division lost tomorrow, I don't know what the games look or not tomorrow. Sorry, Christmas or next week, I guess I should say. I don't know if there's like division games. I'm sure there are. But if the bottom. It just depends. If everybody lost, I'm sure. It helps out the Chiefs. It raises their position in the. And their conference, which determines the whole NFL or the playoff layout.
Yeah, but sometimes I think there's too many teams, and even in college, where they expanded it, they just get too many teams going for it.
Well, I think that college is just. I don't think that college should have a national championship playoff game thing, because it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense in my mind. The NFL, I guess it makes sense. There are 32 teams, and it makes more sense because half the top half makes it to the playoffs. But college, there's something like 192 teams, if I remember correctly, and I mean, I'm pulling that off the top of my mind. It's like there's an absurd number of teams. You can't tell me that they're guaranteeing they pick the best teams to go to the playoffs every year. And it's of course the same like the Big Ten schools who always make it to the college football playoffs.
Well, right, that's why I agree with playoffs, because it used to be the champion was nominated. You know, chosen by a group of coaches. And it used to be like that in high school football. I remember Pleasant went undefeated for four straight years. In 71, they won a championship, and it was voted on. And then in 72, they won it, but that was the first year of the playoffs. So, you know, people couldn't say, they was just voted that. There was no way they'd be champions. No, 72 was the first year of the high school playoffs, and they won.
Well, also, I think that the playoffs, I mean, it'd be a hard thing to do, but I think that the playoffs, at the very least the Super Bowl, I mean, I don't know, because, you know, the playoffs are single elimination, so, like, if you just had, like, if the best team in the NFL had, like, just a bad day, I mean, they're knocked out of the playoffs, and then, like, the team that beat them could very well get knocked out of the playoffs next week, and then you have, like, I think that you should play, like, three games, and then the winner of, like, best two of three advances, because that way, you know, best team has the best chance to, cause like I said, if you have a bad day, you have a bad day, but then you would expand the football season so long, because I wouldn't
well, it's kind of like basketball.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they do it in basketball. Basketball's not so physical. I mean, you are running up and down the court. I mean, I'm not saying they're not, like, you know, athletic people.
They gotta be in shape.
Yeah.
But
they're not getting laid out on the field and taking hits and all that kind of stuff.
Sometimes, but not very often.
Yeah, not very often. I mean, it's a very limited contact sport. But, you know, football, on the other hand, is a full contact sport.
But like Ohio State, you know, they kind of laid an egg against Indiana.
Yeah.
You know, their defense was strong because they held them 13 points. But the offense just never could get anything going.
Well, you know, I think Ohio State's probably going to win the college football champion, or the national championship this year. I mean, because I was doing a lot of looking into Ohio State during the Ohio State-Michigan week, so I could, you know, come back and report on here. And Ohio State has, I don't have the list in front of me anymore, but off the top of my head, Carnell Tate's looking to be a number one pick, or not a number one pick, like a first round pick. At the very least, a second-round pick. They have a defensive tackle who's looking to be a first-round pick. They have two linebackers, if I recall correctly, who are looking to be first-round picks, and a safety who's looking to be a first-round pick. I mean, you can't... I mean, their entire defense is... I mean, they have basically an NFL-caliber defense. I mean... I find it hard to believe that they are not going to win the national championship. I mean, Julian Sands, a redshirt freshman, meaning it's his sophomore year. So he's only been in college football for 2 years, and he's already has the highest completion percentage, and he's in the Heisman race.
Yeah, he was good, but Indiana was getting him out of rhythm because they was chasing him too much, blitzing, and even when they didn't blitz, you know, our offensive line didn't do the greatest, just, you know, giving him protection. But if they lay another egg, you know, it's one and done now. You know, they better start playing some good ball now.
Also, now, this is probably just a personal gripe I have against Ohio State, but, like, I think Ohio State fans, to some extent, are spoiled. I mean, Ohio State has been such a good team for so long now, they expect perfection. Like, if Ohio State loses one game a year, they're livid. Like, they are upset. They expect you to win every game, every year, all the time, and win the national championship every year. If you don't, you might as well be a failure in their eyes. Like, it's absurd the amount of winning they expect.
Yeah, well, you know, when you have a tradition, you know, they expect you to, you know, keep it up. You know, Michigan's always been up there, too. And they haven't been as much lately as
Ohio
State, you know, being...
I didn't know until last year that Michigan actually leads the series. Because, I mean, all of my life, Ohio State has dominated Michigan up until the last, you know, couple of years. So all of my life, I expected the...
Michigan did a lot of women years ago.
Yeah, I expected, honestly, I expected Michigan to be, to be behind in the series. Michigan is up like something like 50 to 60 games, if I recall correctly, on the series.
I don't know for that much, but...
I mean, you know, it goes like forever, like, you know, as long as the rivalry has been a thing.
You know, Woody Hayes, he won 5 national championships, you know, and that's one reason why I think Earl Bruce got let go, is they didn't think he was going to take him to a championship, you know. Although his win percentage wasn't bad, you know, they just was never making it, you know, to a championship, and back in it was voted on, so.
So, But, okay, so I have it wrong. They've only played 121 times. So the 50 or 60 wins, I probably misread it last time I looked. Michigan is only up by 10 games on the series, but they have the biggest win in the largest victory in history of that game is 86-0, and that was Michigan beat Ohio State 86-0.
What year was that?
1902. It's been a while.
Oh, yeah.
And the longest win streak in the history of the rivalry is 9 games, and Michigan carries that as well.
Well, during Coach Cooper days, they always beat us. I wonder if that's when they got the 9-game winning streak.
1901 to 1909.
Oh, well.
Yep, long time.
And then Cooper... Well, Cooper couldn't win against Michigan if his life depended on it.
Well, it looks like Ohio State's probably going to end up taking the series before I... before I inevitably leave the Earth, I'm sure Ohio State's going to take the series.
Yeah, we'd like to hope. Well, I'll let you go. You're about ready to get off of the night.
All righty. Have a good one.
Okay. See you.
All righty. Well, with that being said... it is, in fact, about to be 11 o'clock. So, I appreciate everybody for listening. Thank you for, thank you for listening to me ramble. Stay warm out. It is rather cold outside. Enjoy the rest of your night if you're going to be up much longer. Have a good one, and goodbye.